But now we head back to the 90s, the heady days of the 90s, football-wise. Looking at Tom Whitworth's book, When the Seagulls Follow the Trawler, football in the 90s, it's incredible just how much did happen, just how much changed and developed, and there were key incidents, key moments, which is obviously...
Big players, big personalities.
...on the subject. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hi, good afternoon, guys.
I suppose when you sat down to sort of research it, you know, you had a list of things, but I mean, you must have been adding to it all the time. It's just, it was just so much going on.
Yeah, very much so. There was so much that you could write about and think about, and it was a case, I guess, for me of just trying to pick out a lot of the more interesting stories, I thought, and some of the things that were changing during that decade, and just trying to get some kind of full book story together for it.
I think that really the start of it was Italia 90. I mean, it wasn't the greatest World Cup. A lot of people look back on it as quite a terrible World Cup, but England did get through to a semi-final. Things did change in that post-Hillsborough Heysel era. And I mean, I certainly wouldn't be sitting here doing this if it wasn't for, because we launched 90 Minutes in 1990. But, you know, it was huge, wasn't it? It was the springboard for everything that went on, I think, including the Premier League, as people started to fall in love with football again.
Yeah, certainly. I think, as you mentioned, you know, how things were with the 80s, it was quite eventful, and England not doing that well internationally either as a team, and then World Cup 90 kind of revived a lot of people's enthusiasm, how close England got to maybe winning that tournament. And then, like you said, a lot of changes came quite quickly after that. There was talks to form some kind of Super League, which became the Premier League, and that came along in 1992. So, yeah, a lot of big moments happening very much at the start of that decade that kind of accelerated on through it.
I suppose what happened is it became the soap opera because it was on telly, suddenly on telly an awful lot, wasn't it? It was a constantly changing narrative. And so these characters were always there, in the game, but now they had a platform, and they needed a story.
If you had a dish in a box, I mean, you could watch highlights, but I mean, that was quite a radical shift.
This was the first time you could
watch
game after game after game. And even more so now. But in the 90s, that was the advent of seeing those games. So those characters, and they had longevity, didn't they? The 90s footballers and the 90s managers had longevity. They carried on a long, long time. You know, you look at Wenger, you look at Alex. Sir Alex.
Yeah, certainly. I think if you look at the cover of the book, sort of the yellow cover with quite a few characters from that decade, you've got Eric Cantona, who was so influential for Manchester United, but I would say for the Premier League as well, and still thought of, chanted about Old Trafford and so on. And then Arsene Wenger, for how long he was with Arsenal and what he started when he joined the club. There seem to be a lot of characters to me who were along with the game coming into the mainstream, they were very much a part of that, I would say, because of how interesting they were perhaps than before.
Those overseas players, I remember we did a cover of 90 Minutes in about 1992, and it was, we basically grafted Ruud Gullit's head onto a Leeds shirt. And the point we were making was, this could never happen. The giants of European football will never be playing in this country. And 2 years later, he was wearing a Chelsea shirt. He was playing. I mean, that was the thing, wasn't it? The amount of players, and obviously Cantona's on the cover, and the title comes from that infamous quote. So many of these great overseas players were suddenly playing in this country.
Yeah, certainly. And I think that you say Italia 90, but also the Italian Serie A coverage on Channel 4, a lot of people were very familiar with that. And then the Champions League as well. Mm. And then at certain moments in the 90s, all of a sudden, people like Ravanelli, Vialli, who we'd seen elsewhere, were now playing in the Premier League. Mm. And that was quite a big switch over from what had come before. And as you said, Hull, it was a bit earlier into that as well. And I guess that the availability of more finances helped attract some of those players as well and accelerate it further.
Yeah. It's only internationally the two World Cups in that era in 94. And I mean, the 94, you know, England didn't qualify, but Ireland had a good World Cup. 98, England didn't do stunningly well. So it's not like the the World Cup's kind of pushed that on. It really was. Yeah. It had become sort of led by the domestic football.
Well, you were in 96 in the middle of all that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Well.
That would have given it
the bounce.
Particularly
it?
Good meat in that sandwich. You shouldn't forget that. That was huge.
I think so. I think what I talk about is how football sort of became more mainstream culturally than it had done. I think Euro 96 was very important for that. And then what was happening around the time in terms of Cool Britannia and Britpop and so on, and then New Labour as well emerging with Tony Blair. I think that you're quite right in saying it wasn't necessarily the England team's success necessarily, but the Premier League becoming even more popular, attendances rising, and these great players and characters. And I think also I write about towards the end of the decade, sort of Manchester United, when they won the Champions League in 1999, almost English football taking its place back at the top of the European game as well.
Yeah. We Newcastle fans will love this because it'll take them back to that sort of 95 era side.
All that.
With Les so many great players, Ginola and stuff, led by Kevin Keegan, and they feature in the book as well, don't they?
Yeah, that was an interesting chapter to write. So I met and interviewed Les Ferdinand, which was great to talk to him about that time. They were such an exciting team, the Entertainers, as they were called, and had a very good chance of winning the title in 96 and then sort of fell away, even though then following season they signed Alan Shearer, of course. But yeah, I think a team like that from my... it seems like a lot of people think that they were a very popular team for the neutrals as well as Newcastle fans at the time. So there's a lot of entertaining teams at the time. Probably Liverpool, you could say that as well, with Fowler and McManaman and so on.
And all those cultural things that you mentioned, those things that ran alongside the development of football, like Championship Manager, Football Manager, it's now, you know, the Collier brothers.
And Fever Pitch came out in the 90s, you know, the Nick Hornby book. So yeah, all those.
The computer games, the FIFA games, etc. Yeah. Games getting more sophisticated. The football games were probably not quite as sophisticated as they are now.
It became pop culture in the 90s rather than just a subculture.
Yeah, certainly. I think that's exactly it. And like you said, with some of those references, a lot more people, it seemed, got a lot more interested in football, and there was with some of the kits as well were a bit more a bit more sort of vibrant, you might say, as well.
A lot more forgiving.
Yeah, with everything, that just slightly looser cut. Remember, later on, those Kappa Savaloy skins weren't very forgiving if you're a sort of 42 waist or whatever going to the game in those. That's true. They did. Yeah, you did have. They were built for comfort, not for speed, weren't they? When you watch the games back, actually, Tom, that's one of the things you think. Blimey, baggy shirts. Footballers now, they're so cut, aren't they? They so want to look good in those shirts. I don't think they would have liked the baggy shirts.
No, I don't think so. And I think those baggy shirts, probably a lot of the fans will be all right wearing those ones, whereas now I'm not sure if that's quite the case as well in terms of how they fit and so on. I think that shows quite another one of the changes, you know, just all the fitness of the players and diet and so on, and how the game moved on and what you could see watching those games. Maybe they're a bit slower, but bit more, you know, very entertaining still.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It does look, I know it is quite a long time ago now, but to me, it doesn't seem that long ago. But I guess when you look at it, it is quite from another era, as it were, but probably the start of the Premier League era, if you like.
Absolutely. Tommy, wish you well with the book. Thanks for joining us.
Brilliant. Thanks so much.
Cheers, Tom.
That's great.
Tom Whitworth, When the Seagulls Follow the Trawler, Football in the 90s, published by Pitch, is out now in paperback.